So Jesus canceled his day off. He went over. He saw the crowd. And it says in verse 34 of Mark 6, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. A lot of times people will say in the Old Testament, how come God is all harsh in the Old Testament and he's really nice in the New Testament? That is a misreading of both Testaments. The harshest God ever appears in the whole Bible is when he kills his own son, and that's in the New Testament. And the book of Revelation isn't exactly milquetoast either. In the Old Testament, when God revealed himself to Moses, Moses said, I want to see your glory. Tell me, let me see you. And he says, all right, here I come. And then he passed in front of Moses and he said, the Lord, the Lord. And then what next? He said, the Lord, anybody remember? Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving sins. Now, we know that there's lots of attributes of God, right? Lots and lots and lots of attributes. God could have said anything there. But the first thing he said was compassionate and gracious. I don't know of any phrase in the Old Testament that is repeated more times than that one. I've studied that phrase, and it appears, it just defines God throughout the whole Old Testament. You see it again and again. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Compassionate, gracious, forgiving sins. And sometimes they'll modify it. Sometimes they'll leave pieces out. Sometimes they'll change it around. But always the compassionate and gracious is first. And they never leave that out. That's just repeated more in the Old Testament than any phrase I know of. So, describing God. So, God really, really wants us to understand his compassion. And Jesus is, of course, God, and so he's going to be compassionate. He sees this crowd, and they're like sheep without a shepherd. And so he has compassion. He feels for them. And God's compassion should move us to compassion. We're to imitate that. So Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, and kindness, and humility, and gentleness, and patience. So we're to follow that model. And you may have heard me say this before, so if you've heard this before, sorry for the repetition, but I just want to say it because I like it. I like thinking about it. God built compassion into our bodies. So this word, splankna, is a word, and you might have heard it refers to the entrails. You know, you feel compassion in your stomach. If you see somebody bleeding or a broken bone sticking out or something, you feel it in your stomach. Someone has to be hurt pretty bad before you feel it in your stomach. You don't feel it in your stomach just because somebody got a big bill in the mail or something. It's they have to be bleeding or something, you know. It's an extreme feeling of compassion. This word for compassion is only used of Jesus in the Bible. But it's used a lot of Jesus. He was wrenched in his midsection a lot of times in the New Testament. But why do we have pain in our stomach when somebody else gets hurt? I asked a doctor one time, a friend of mine who's a doctor, and he said, well, what happens is your intestines secrete some kind of an acid that irritates the lining of your intestines. Which is maybe more information you wanted right after dinner. But can you explain? I would love to hear an evolutionist explain that one. How did that evolve? Why would your body secrete acids to inflict pain on itself when someone else is hurt? What good is compassion in the survival of the fittest? Because if it's survival of the fittest, if I'm locked in a life and death struggle to where I'm going to die or he's going to die, and every time I get an advantage, I start feeling sorry for him, how is that going to help me survive? That's not going to help me. It seems like all the people who developed that mutation would have died out, you know, a million years ago if evolution were true. I can't imagine how an evolutionist could possibly explain compassion. But for us, if we bear the image of God, it's easy to explain. He left the thumbprint of his own compassion, this fundamental issue of his nature, in our very stomachs, designed us to feel pain when we see someone else in pain. So I just think that's a marvelous truth, and and we should use it to become more and more like him. So he says he had compassion, and it's interesting why he had compassion. They weren't bleeding. They didn't have any compound fractures. They were just sheep without a shepherd. They're just sheep without a shepherd. Which is kind of interesting because they had a lot of... A shepherd is a spiritual leader, right? A teacher. They had lots of teachers. Can you imagine what the scribes... Jesus, like, oh, I'm heartbroken. These people have no spiritual leaders. The scribes are standing there like, what are we, chopped liver? You know, what? But they weren't. They might as well have been chopped liver. They were nothing. They weren't providing. They weren't tending the flock. They were just given human wisdom. And so J.C. Ryle said, Jesus got there and saw thousands of immortal souls stood before our Lord, ignorant, helpless, and on the high road to ruin. It touched the gracious heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had compassion on them, and so he began teaching them many things. That's the other thing I want to mention is what his compassion drove him to do. It wasn't compassion on their poverty and he gave them money. It wasn't compassion on their hunger and he fed them. At this point, they're not hungry yet. It was compassion on the fact that they were sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have spiritual leadership, and so he taught them. He preached to them. We're going to find out the next day they came back and wanted food, and he wouldn't give it to them. So Jesus had compassion on them, but he didn't give them what they wanted. He gave them what they needed. He didn't give them what they wanted. They needed God's word. And that's a lesson on what shepherding means. A lot of times you hear this too, as a pastor. Some pastors are good at the teaching and preaching side, and some pastors are more shepherd, they have a shepherd's heart, and they're better at the shepherding side. I don't think the Bible writers would understand that, because for them, shepherding equals feeding the flock, teaching. That's what shepherding is. That's what this says. They're sheep without a shepherd. Oh, I'll teach them. He had compassion. They were sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. It's not so he began sitting next to him, putting his arm around him. When Jesus talked to Peter in John 21 at his restoration, three times, he said, "Do you love me? You know I love you. Then what? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep." So he's telling him, teach them. And that's what shepherding is. That's how you shepherd the flock. Jesus said, feed my sheep, not pet my lambs. And so the concept that shepherding is something different than teaching is just a misnomer.